You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
NBA free agency, 6 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. It's official. Although, Jay, Key, what we're seeing is like, you know, this deal, like just P.J. Tucker, he's going to take 3 years, $30 million to go to Philly instead of staying in Miami. Well, wait a minute. You can't talk to anybody yet. How the hell does he know he's getting 3 years and $30 million from Philly?
Like,
yeah, no kidding. So we see this stuff. You know, Jalen Brunson, the Knicks, he's going to take the Knicks on. The Knicks are going to offer him this. Well, how does he know? Well, his dad's actually on the coaching staff, so I'm sure there's that. But I think it's just funny. So all this stuff going on, yes, we will be talking about it. But the one thing we are talking about, and it is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Allenhahn in for Max, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. The one thing we are talking about, though, is that Kyrie Irving – is it 5 o'clock today, Jay, right?
Yes.
Make it official.
Wait, Alan,
the opt-in.
Alan and Key, did I miss anything last night? I wasn't on social media as much. Was there any Kyrie Irving breaking news, trades that I should know about since you two are, you know, still pushing this narrative that it's never too late. It's not over.
I'm not yet.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
Jay,
that's all.
Only thing I'm doing is I'm doing what my producers have asked me to do, which is pay attention. To the individuals that work at ESPN and deliver the messages from the organizations in the front offices. So that's what I'm doing. I'm listening to Winhurst. I'm listening to the guys that I think have intimate knowledge about the potential of Kyrie Irving still being pursued by the Lakers. That's all I'm doing, Jay.
You see, Alan, it gets very serious when Key starts to use his legal voice.
Yes.
Have you heard the tone go down?
Yes.
Very, very calm in his delivery.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I don't want to turn it into a screaming match. You know, I hate those.
I still want to try to
have some energy and deliver it, you know?
Deliver it.
Well, you mentioned Brian Windhorst, who, by the way, will join the show at the bottom of the hour. And he always brings it very interesting stuff. And as you said, Key, very plugged in, knows stuff. And when he's like me, where there's smoke, there's fire. And he sees something smoldering right now with the Nets and the Lakers. And on the Hoop Collective podcast, he came up with a little scenario between the two, which should make Key happy because it results in Kyrie ending up in L.A.
Westbrook for Kyrie trade. The Lakers would save $11 million. That costs something. So Westbrook and two unprotected or two lightly protected first-round picks for Kyrie. Okay. I know people are telling me you're crazy. Why are you talking about this? It would bail out the Lakers for this season and potentially next, and could potentially influence LeBron James' thinking when it comes to extending his contract in August.
CJ, it makes sense.
I'm signing up for it, man.
It makes sense for the Lakers. It doesn't make sense for the Nets. That's what happens with these deals. It has to make sense for both sides, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, maybe. No, it does, Jay, but what if, just what if, when they gave him the permission to go seek a trade partner, that was really their intention was to get rid of him, even though he's opted in to make sure that he can still maximize his earnings for this season, knowing that he still is going to be traded? I never heard Kyrie Irving say, I'm glad to be back with the Brooklyn Nets and Kevin Durant and my homeboys and all, I'm ready to play for Steve Nash. I never heard him say any of that. Mm-hmm. So my antennas are still up.
Mm-hmm. And also, let's continue with a little more from Brian Windhorst from a couple of days ago on NBA Today when he talked about the motivation on Brooklyn's side of this.
The message the Brooklyn Nets are sending is that they are willing to risk losing Kevin Durant if it means going through what they went through last year with Kyrie Irving. They just cannot have him back under the same terms that they had last year.
So maybe, Jay, you opt in because that's your best option. The money's there. It's harder to go into free agency. There's not a lot of teams with cap space. The Lakers, certainly, you're not going to take a mid-level exception to go to the Lakers. But if you take the option, it makes it so much easier to now trade you. And there's no deadline on it. Can you see that scenario?
Potentially. Yeah. Oh, where are you trading him to?
Well,
to the Lakers. So wait,
here's
a question I'm going to ask you. And first off, as it relates to the Lakers, I don't know if the Lakers are willing to give up their two picks, 2027, 2029. I'm going to ask for a lot. I'm going to try to take everything from the Lakers. Then okay, maybe if you're Sean Marks, if that helps you, if you think you're going to lose Kevin Durant anyway, potentially if you think you're going to do that deal. But doesn't it make sense for just because you want to be traded doesn't mean I need to trade you? You're going to play here.
So
you're
why
give my team
the best
shot to win the championship.
So why give me the permission to seek a trade partner if you're not looking to move me?
Because I'm calling your bluff. I'm saying that I don't think a lot of teams want you, and a lot of teams don't have cap space to actually
get you, Kyrie. But how is that calling my bluff when you the one gave me the permission? So I went out and found a trade partner. Now here's the trade partner. The Lakers are my trade partner. You asked for me to find a trade partner. Here's the trade partner. I found a Los Angeles Lakers and the general manager LeBron James. I found it.
Once again, what am I getting in return, though, Key? It's not as simple as I found a team willing to give me, you know, it has to make sense. You can find somebody.
Now you're getting ready to play right into Kyrie's hands. Because if you're worried about disruption and you're worried about all the things that Windhorst just said, now you are alienating me because I did exactly what you asked me to do, which was find a trade partner. And I got your trade partner. Now you're telling me the trade partner I found you is not good enough when you asked me to go find one?
Yes.
But you're telling me you're going to keep me even though I don't want to be here now.
I'm not keeping you. You're the one deciding to opt in for an extra $30 million. If you don't want to be here, take the 6.5 somewhere else, Key. Prove it to me. If you really don't want to be here and you have enough.
Well, it's too late. I got the 36. I ain't taking this.
Then you here. Then you here, Key. You here. I'm not giving you the money and then moving you. You're here. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
You want to run the risk and take the chance, like Windhorst said, of losing Kevin Durant by playing games with Kyrie Irving. So be it. If that's what Sean Marks feels that they need to do, they certainly are headed in that direction. And then you say, well, what can you get, right? Check this out, though, Jay. I got one for you. So you get the two picks from the Lakers, 27, 29 years. You get Westbrook in return. You then got Kyrie out of there. Now Kevin Durant, what can you get for him at this age, in the prime of his career, could still go somewhere and win a championship? What haul can you get from him? You now stockpile those picks like Philadelphia, like Boston did, like Memphis, and you continue to OKC, I'm sorry, and you continue to do those. Now you got a ton of picks to play with now.
I just got to know that in the span of a year and a half, we went from having a core team that we literally put on the market to get James Harden. I get what you're saying. We lose James Harden. That didn't work out. We don't have Kyrie, and now we're so close to winning a championship. We got Ben Simmons in this deal, and now we're going back to a rebuild. I think that's a tough pill to swallow.
But you put yourself in this rebuild position. If you think about it, though, at the end of the season, what did Sean Marks say? He is not fully committed on dealing with Kyrie. He needs everybody to be on the same page and all in. He's only speaking to one person. And you know how it is. When people talk subliminally to you, through people and through channels, that doesn't sit well at all. It's like, talk to me straight up.
Brother, I'm not saying this is the most optimal situation that the Nets are in. It's definitely not. It's definitely tenuous. But I think you see how it goes at the beginning of the season, and you see what kind of traction these two keep if they are able to maintain that, and you see how they build. And if it's not, then you have to make moves. I hear what you're saying.
Jay, I'll leave it like this. I think it's one of those – I think what Key's trying to say is there's an inevitability to this, that it could be now or it could be February trade deadline or end of season, but it right now all you know is that you have Kyrie under contract for 1 year. You don't know what you're getting out of him this year. And you also know that Kevin Durant adds another year to his age after this season. So there's so an inevitability to this.
You guys are posing scenarios.
I hear people posing scenarios.
Tell me what you would do.
Why are you getting so mad, Jay?
No, I'm not getting mad. This is good conversation.
I love this topic. Like I said, we will certainly get back to it because there's a lot of different ways you can go. But I look at this, if I knew more about where – if I'm reading it, where Sean is mentally, where that franchise is and all the things they've been through, you went all in getting James Harden, and then you saw that just disintegrate. It looked amazing for like a minute, and then it disintegrates. And you think to yourself, what are we doing? What are we as a franchise, and are we really ready to just hand it over to this player and do things the way he wants to do them just to make him happy so it makes Kevin happy? Is that how you run a franchise? And if you don't believe in it, then you move on from it. And I think that's where they're at right now. But again, like I said, this is another conversation we definitely have to get back to. Much more on this is Brian Windhorst going to join us, like I said, at 20 minutes, bottom of the hour. And this Kyrie Irving story keeps the Nets up all night, doesn't it? Coming up, we're going to tell you which quarterback is keeping teams up the night before they play them in the NFL. There are quarterbacks that are scary. Who are they? We'll get to that next on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
I'm the smartest guy in the box, so I like that too.
G's Real Rankings.
Oh, this is going to be fun. In fact, let's invite everybody on the crew in on this one as Keyshawn Johnson is going to give us his real rankings. So this is all motivated by something that my co-host, Bart Scott, said a couple of weeks ago when he talked about how he'd rather – when he played as linebacker for the Ravens and the Jets, he said, I'd much rather go against Tom Brady every day than go against Peyton Manning. He felt like Peyton Manning – was someone that he was that just kept you up at night. You saw a different type of anxiety, he said, that he was not afraid of playing Tom Brady. So a list was made by NFL.com's Bucky Brooks about the top five scariest quarterbacks in the NFL today. His list. Now, am I giving his list or are we just going to get to Key's list? That's what I need to know here.
Yeah. Give us Bucky's list first.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Okay. You don't want to hear that. Bucky's list at all?
All right.
No.
All right. Okay. Forget about Bucky.
Well, that's great. Bucky, here's Bucky's list. Number five was Justin Herbert. Number four was Lamar Jackson. Number three was Aaron Rodgers. Number two was Josh Allen. Number one was Patrick Mahomes. That's Bucky Brooks, NFL.com. It's a great list.
Excellent list.
I like that.
That's his list.
I'm not mad at that list.
Let's get Keyshawn's list starting with
number five.
Kyler Murray sitting at number five. And you say, well, how could that be? Look, he is keeping defensive coordinators up at night because you got to know how to defend him. If you allow him to get slightly outside the pocket, the Buffalo Bills a year ago figured that out. They allowed him to slip outside the pocket, and that's when it became the Kyler Murray Hail Mary. So, look, in the end, he can do a lot of different things with his feet. He can throw on the run, all of those sort of things. And I know you point to health, but we're not talking about health. We're talking about keeping defensive coordinators up at night. He's at number five.
Number four.
This is an easy one, Aaron Rodgers. We've seen Aaron Rodgers play for the Green Bay Packers his entire career. We've seen comebacks. We've seen comebacks again. We've seen darts being thrown and different receivers. We've also seen him come into a little bit of a controversial thing in the offseason a year ago. But he's back in full swing with the Green Bay Packers, keeping defensive coordinators up all night long.
Number three.
And this number three will drive a lot of people crazy because they're tired of hearing about the Buffalo I haven't won anything Bills, but Josh Allen makes my list at number three. A lot similar to a bigger Kyler Murray, a bigger Lamar Jackson. Can do a lot of things with his feet. Can swing it with the best of, sling it with the best of him with his arm. He's given it all, given problems last year. It wasn't his fault that they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs. It was that defense giving up the goods to Patrick Mahomes, who now sits at
number two.
Patrick Mahomes sits at number two. Look, he could be one. That would be an easy choice. But he does so many magical things, off-schedule plays, pushing the ball down the field. Sneaky runner. He is not a running first quarterback, but a very sneaky one when he decides to pull it down and go, as you can see right here on this video clip. Number one is the scariest dude at any skill position in the National Football League. It's Lamar Jackson. I played against Randy Moss at the same time Randy Moss played. Scary is ridiculous. Kept defensive coordinators up all night and day and into the next morning. And that is the way Lamar Jackson has come onto the scene in the National Football League. Soon to hopefully be an NFL champion. Has been an MVP in this league before. He sits at number one.
An interesting list. Like I said, I invite everybody now on the crew to chime in on this because we all had opinions on it when we saw the list. But I'll just begin with this. Kyler Murray as a scary quarterback, not in December.
Well, look, we can't help the fact that the man has been hurt. That's his health. That's his size. I'm talking about defensive coordinators when he's starting and in the games, Allen, they are sitting up trying to figure out how to slow him down because that offense goes as he goes. We all know that. He can run it. He can pull it down. He can pull a Houdini out his hat. All those sort of things. You can't tell me the defensive coordinators are just sitting back going, oh, this dude is like, Josh McCown. No, not at all.
Okay, great. Can we stop with the Bills stuff, please? They've done absolutely nothing. They've accomplished zero, and we're acting like they've won about eight Super Bowls.
This is about Josh Allen.
He's done nothing. Why are we scared of Josh Allen all of a sudden?
I'm with Key on Josh Allen. I agree with what he said.
Man.
He's a bigger
Kyler Murray,
man.
I'm more afraid of Joe Burrow.
I'm more afraid of Tom Brady. Well, I was going to ask. That's what I wanted to ask Key about. Like, Key, I know a lot. Four out of the five quarterbacks can create a lot of plays with their feet. Their ability to kind of, dance outside the pocket. But how about the most precise quarterback there is in the game of football? How about Tom Brady? He can't pick apart defenses. There's not nightmares before you go against Tom Brady?
He's been doing it so long, Jay. It's nothing you really could do. He's seen every scheme that every defensive coordinator's ever had.
Yeah.
So it's really nothing you could do. You just roll your game plan out there and it is what it is. With these other guys, you've got to figure out how to contain him. You don't have to figure out how to contain Tom Brady. You keep him in the pocket and you put that pocket rush into him and you push the pocket, you got something. You already know that. It's a simple game plan. Everybody knows that. But when you get out of your lanes with Kyler Murray or Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, you get out of your lanes and your responsibility, you can mess around and get hurt really bad. Mm. That's not the case with Tom Brady. All you got to do defensively is pin your ears back and go get him. You don't have to do a whole bunch of worrying about the defensive end responsibility on holding on a run-pass option. You don't have to worry about those sort of things.
Do you put Lamar Jackson ahead of Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, correct?
Yeah, because of his legs, his dynamic ability with his legs, and he is an interesting, sneaky passer, too.
I look at it as when it comes to scare, like when the way Bart was describing it is he was saying it's more of during a game. That's why I would put Aaron Rodgers at number one, because during a game, things change. You have your language on your defense. You can hear what they're calling. You know what they're doing. You're all – everything's set up. And then he'll just all of a sudden flip the chessboard. And the next thing you know, he's calling something. That's not what it is anymore. He sees where you are and he's laughing at you, literally telling you, yeah, no, you're wrong, Bart. You're wrong, Bart. He's like, wait, that wasn't supposed to go that way. Like in the middle of a game, he's doing this. The mind games, to me, is what leads to nightmares, is thinking you're prepared but knowing there's going to be a curveball coming. I know it. Lamar Jackson, it's the legs, no doubt. It's the athleticism, and that scares you because you just want to make sure I've got a – like my tongue's hanging, I'm exhausted. This guy's still going.
No.
With Aaron Rodgers, it's – I got to be able to play the mental game with this guy too, and that to me is something
Alan,
that would scare you.
The defensive coordinators aren't sitting up all night long worrying about the mind game. They're worried about how the hell do we get this dude on the ground, okay? If all of a sudden Bart is detached from the line of scrimmage because Lamar Jackson did something and he has his responsibility on the edge to hold the backside and he gives up that responsibility, guess what? House call. See you later. Yeah. Deuces. Mm-hmm. That's what you worry about. You sit up all night long worrying about those things.
So Alan, you said that like Kyler Murray's not scary in December. Aaron Rodgers isn't scary in January. Like, I'm not scared of Aaron Rodgers because I know he's going to get to a certain point in the season where he's just not going to show up and be outplayed by Jimmy G in a home game in January. So, like, you want to make that argument for Kyler Murray? How can you make that argument for Aaron Rodgers who doesn't show up in the playoffs at the most important time?
Okay, so one game. You're telling me that before a playoff game, you're just going to say,
no, I'm not scared of Aaron Rodgers.
I'm resting easy the night before playing Aaron Rodgers because, you know, he never wins in the playoffs, so I can rest easy. The whole idea is the nightmare, right? It's the scariest quarterback. The scariest quarterback is the guy that you feel like can outsmart
you.
Yeah,
to steal a line from Bart, can't wait to play Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs.
Yeah, look forward to that.
So, but then how does Tom Brady not make the list?
But look, everybody plays, Alan, everybody plays mind games at the line of scrimmage, man. Don't fall for it.
Omaha!
They all bark that blah, 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 change the plays. Nobody goes into a huddle with one damn play and then looks to the sideline for an audible.
That's not what Bart said. Yeah, but that's not what Bart was saying. Am I? I'm trying to reiterate what Bart said. I'm just not saying it as intelligently as he did. Like, you know, it's simple as that. It was 2 weeks ago. But I don't know. I just don't know how you would put him and even Mahomes. Those two guys, you would not put them ahead of Lamar Jackson.
This is a terrible list,
really bad. Yeah, no, I don't like it.
I think that's the one thing we can all agree that the list wasn't very good.
Justin
Herbert's not on this list.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Key, how's
no Justin Herbert? You talk about Josh Allen hadn't won anything. Hell, you almost made me use the S word. Hell, Josh Allen at least has gone to the playoffs. Justin Herbert ain't got to no playoffs.
Yeah, but his trajectory over the last 2 years has been pretty phenomenal, even though it hasn't always equated to winning.
Potential don't get you nothing, Jay.
Yeah,
Haven't you heard that before?
There were a lot of questionable coaching decisions. We talked about that.
Now there's questionable coaching decisions.
I've been saying that. We said that this year. We talked about that.
Yeah, that has always been the issue with quarterbacks.
That.
We defend them that way. But you know what, Jay?
I don't think he's as scary as these dudes that's on my list.
Okay.
You know why it says Key's real rankings?
Because
it's
hold
my
on, man. Just
because
you have your real rankings doesn't mean we can't challenge Key's real
rankings.
Oh, no,
you can challenge it. You can break it all the way down. You can slice it up, dice it however you want to. It's not changing.
Here's what I want you to do, though, because we got to run here. But because everybody really went after you about Josh Allen, and I've always been a firm believer in Josh Allen, I believe he should be on this list. So can you, Key, though, defend him to those in the control room that feel like he's done nothing?
Based on last two seasons, he's done plenty. Now, I can't say what it's going to be moving forward with Brian Daboll now in New York being a Giants head coach and Ken Dorsey taking over play calling duties, but he's been phenomenal over the last 2 years. Again, it was not his fault that they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. It wasn't his fault. He did everything to put him in a position to win the game. Oh. They had opportunities to win the game based on his ability, and the defense gave up.
Mm. You're making excuses for Josh Allen. I guess you can't make excuses for Justin Herbert, huh?
Excuses now?
It wasn't his fault. I guess it can't be Justin Herbert's fault that his defense wasn't.
You know what
great.
I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do, man?
I'm just taking your words.
I'm going to get me one of these social media accounts and attack you. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Congrats to the Bills for already winning the Super Bowl this year and Josh Allen for already winning the MVP.
You guys are the worst. Keys Real Rankings, which everyone pretty much said was not good. But anyway.
All right, Jim Plunkett's on it.
All right, so coming up, we'll get back into the NBA conversation. Brian Windhorst is going to join us, and maybe he can explain to Jay why the inevitability for the Nets should be sooner rather than later. We'll get to that.
Both Kyrie and the Lakers
every time I hear that,
wanted each other. Does it mean that it's over, Jay?
Some people, agents and executives that I talked to thought, they don't think this is over.
Not over? I always say, where there's smoke, there's fire. A conversation that we were having earlier in the show that we need to continue here because, I mean, Jay, you don't want to hear it. You feel like we're ganging up on you, of course.
No.
But
there's
smoke here. There's people talking about it. And now, by accepting the opt-in that Kyrie, at least it's announced, he has to officially do it by 5 o'clock today. But by accepting that opt-in, I think it makes it easier to move him. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Yeah,
Alan Hahn in for Max. And Brian Windhorst, who has given us all this fodder to discuss and certainly have fun with, at sometimes at Jay's expense, joins us right now. Brian, how are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
Thank you, Brian. You've made my last 24 hours just wonderful.
Thank you, Brian.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
No, it just adds to the entertainment. I've always said that, like, certain people that understand the business and how it works, and you do, because there's things that might be, man, this is really out there. All right, but let's talk about it anyway, right? And you're always up to doing that. And I thought that was something that on the Hoop Collective that you did when kicking around the Lakers and the Nets having a deal for Kyrie. Keyshawn, as you know, who is a big Lakers fan, is all for this.
Of course.
Jay doesn't see it as, wait a minute, all right, that works for the Lakers, but what's in it for the Nets? So let's just begin there. Well, what would be in it for the Nets?
Well, first off, I have to say this. When Kyrie announced he was opting in, I was like, okay, we can move on. This is not going to be a thing. But that's not what my phone was telling me. That's not what the executives were telling me. That's not what the agents were telling me. They are saying, this ain't over. Because the Nets made it clear to everybody that they did not want the status quo. If nothing else changed, that they were not going to be happy. And they weren't sure that this satisfied that situation. And it's not just because of the lack of the vaccine mandate. The entire way that Kyrie operated for the last couple of seasons, not just what happened with the vaccine, was part of what Sean Marks and really by proxy Joe Tsai was talking about.
Communication gaps and lack of communication.
So I would like to tell you, I would like to say this be put to bed and I wouldn't have to worry about Kyrie, but that's not what my sources are saying. They're saying they don't know if this is still going to work. So you might say to yourself, well, why would this possibly happen? How could the Lakers still do this? And here's the nuance of it. I agree that if you just look at it on a raw piece of paper, you'll say you're crazy. What are you talking about? How could they possibly trade Russell Westbrook for Kyrie Irving? Well, here's what you have to understand. In that hypothetical trade, the Lakers would save approximately $30 million. That's right. They would potentially move from having Russell Westbrook to having Kyrie Irving and save $30 million. How the heck could they save $30 million? You must be out of your mind, Brian. What are you possibly talking about? Well, Kyrie Irving makes $11 million less than Russell Westbrook. So that's straight cash.
Straight cash.
And then you look at the fact that the Lakers are probably going to be in the luxury tax. Mm-hmm. And when you factor in the tax money savings, you could massively upgrade your talent by saving $30 million. Does that sound like a good deal?
Sounds like a great deal.
Okay, does it sound like a deal that you might be willing to throw in a draft pick or two?
A 2027 draft pick? Yeah, I'll throw that in.
And maybe we can negotiate.
Maybe another one, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now from the Nets end, well, why would the Nets do it? Why would the Nets take Russell Westbrook back? Because he's an obvious downgrade and he's more expensive. Why would the Nets possibly do that? Well, this is where we have the unknown. Where is Kevin Durant on the current situation? I don't have an answer for you. Is Kevin Durant, is he okay with going forward with Kyrie Irving? Is he okay with, if the Nets were willing to try to move Kyrie Irving, how would that affect where Durant is? Because the Nets, in that scenario, they would pick up a $47 million player who could now be traded elsewhere, and they would have picks from the Lakers and picks that they would have from the 76ers that they now can go shopping with for another trade later on. Or they can say, we may actually operate better this year without Kyrie Irving here. And then next year, have a bunch of salary cap space that they might be able to maneuver with. Where is Kevin Durant on that concept? I don't know. So I'm not sitting here saying that I think any of that's going to happen. But I got people who are very high-ranking officials in this league saying this is something that the Nets could still be looking at, and that's all I was pointing out.
So I just want to jump on this for 1 second. So, Wendy, my only thing is I get that the business side of it makes sense. I understand that. And you bring up the point about where is Kevin Durant on this. You know, we did hear him on a podcast, his own podcast, the et ceteras, talking essentially about, you know, I'm staying out of that kind of stuff. But to me, his lack of saying something says everything you need to know about their relationship, because that has been consistent with how KD has treated Kyrie Irving throughout all this. I'm talking about through all the stuff with George Floyd, throughout all the stuff with the January 6th insurrection, throughout all the stuff with the pandemic. He has not said anything. He's been loyal. He's been loyal to him. So to me, like that, a lot of people always say, well, you know, how is this the right move? And I'm like, Kyrie to me feels like he is the person saying, like, you know, responding to Katie saying, I'm going to reward that loyalty by being with you for another year. I see the relationship being so close and tight. I don't know if I see KD coming out and saying, I'm willing to make the right business move for where I want this franchise to be, because I don't know if he's looking at this by saying, I plan on being with this franchise for the next 5 years.
Wait a minute. What did you just say that Kyrie was saying? That he's going to stake with his commitment? I mean, that's a public relations spin. Mm. A couple days ago, he was asking for a sign and trade to find a way out of there.
But that's what I was trying to tell.
But I feel like that's all leverage. I feel like that was a game play because he wanted a longer term.
And it didn't work.
It didn't work. I came on the show and said it didn't work.
So now he can say that I'm countering my commitment. I don't care. I mean, you may be right. I don't care about that statement. That statement carries no water with me. I mean, Kyrie's got to do what's best for his career.
I understand.
And the concept of getting traded elsewhere increased the chances he could get a new, much bigger contract than the Nets were offering. That's what he was doing. The idea of keeping his commitment to Durant, because it's not a 4-year commitment for Durant. Durant extended his contract.
I understand.
Durant's commitment goes much further than 4 years.
But that's what I'm saying. If you're the Nets, it depends upon how you weigh this, though. Like, don't you see how this plays out? Like, for a minute before you just make a move and...
Okay, yeah. Hey, listen. I thought it was over, Jay. And I want it to be over. But I am just telling you what the people in the league are saying.
Brian Windhorst joining us here this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Brian, so out of all the teams, obviously the Lakers and Kyrie, you know, they got a little twinkle in the eye with each other. Outside of the Lakers, is anybody else that may be pursuing or feel a certain way about Kyrie?
At $36 million to trade for, it's hard for me to see today. I think if Kyrie had opted out of his contract and was available for either the $6 million taxpayer mid-level or was available for the $10 million full mid-level, which some teams have, I think there's a lot of teams interested in Kyrie on a short deal, massively undervalued. So, like, when you hear about teams that were interested in Kyrie, if he opted out, I would say there'd be a handful. Teams are interested in trading what it would take to get him. I don't think the list is that long, but, you know, it's June 29th. I don't know where the lay of the land is going to be, you know, in a month, in 6 months. We'll see. Here's what I do know. The last full season that Kyrie played, which was the pandemic-shortened year, the in between the bubble and last season, he was a 50-40-90 player. Mm-hmm. He played, I think, 54 of the 68 or 70 games. Like, he played more of a percentage of games. He was really good that year. And if he comes back this year and plays something along that line, he'll be very good this year. And the Nets will benefit from him in some situations, and other teams, I think, will be interested in that too.
It is an amazing – it's just such a fascinating story. And Wendy, you're right. You want it to go away. But there's a party that just knows, don't think it's going to. And Wendy's not going away either. We're going to bring him back later in the show because there's more to get to with him, including what happens with James Harden, who he has a decision to make today as well in Philadelphia. Wendy, thanks so much. We'll see you in a little bit.
All right.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Allenhahn in for Max. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's talk some golf, fellas. Quinn Riley joining us right now. No, he's not ready. My bad.
He was ready, then he wasn't ready.
He's ready. You know what he's ready for? He's ready for the John Deere Classic, which starts tomorrow. He tees off at 3. TPC Deer Run, Illinois. He is now ready, and he joins us right now, Quinn Riley. From Duke, now turning pro, ranked number one in the Advocates Pro Golf Association's Tour College rankings. The APGA Tour is a nonprofit organization with mission to prepare African Americans and other minority golfers to compete and win at the highest level of professional golf, both on tour and in the golf industry. And we welcome in right now. Quinn, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Quinn, we'll see how good you are in about 5 minutes when your arm, because I see it holding up your phone, just starts to start shaking. The phone just starts shaking. Like, yeah. I'm still holding. Still holding.
Yes. But you and Jay have you and Jay have something, though, in common. Is that, Jay, is it not true that your original plan was to play for North Carolina all along, but then you ended up choosing Duke, right?
Yep. Grew up a Phil Ford. Vince Carter fan, who I joke with Vince all the time, but just worked out that I happened to go to the better school, and the rest was history. Was it the same way for you, Q?
Debatable on the better school, but I junior golf went really well, and I had the opportunity. They were going through a coaching change, and it just made recruiting a little bit complicated, but I ended up getting in touch with Duke, and it was a pretty simple decision from there.
Wait, Quinn, did you just say that it's debatable which is the better school? Did I just hear you? Did you just say that? Is it debatable?
I've got people really on both sides of the line.
No, I don't want to hear this both sides. No. Not on this show, Q. Not on this show. You pick a side. Go ahead, Key. Take it away. I can't.
I'll be a Blue Devil for right now. I'll be a Blue Devil.
Oh, my. Wow.
Quinn, you started playing golf at 6 years old, which would take you back to 2006, right when Tiger was dominating the golf circuit. How much of an influence has Tiger had on you in your golf career, your young golf career?
It's been huge. Watching him wear Sunday Red, you kind of just knew he was the man, even as a six-year-old. And I was playing EA Sports' Tiger 2006 all the way through, like, 2010 until they, like, discontinued it. And he was the guy to beat on the video game, and you just knew that, like, he was undeniably the best golfer in the world. And, I mean, when he looks like you, it's all the inspiration to try it out yourself.
Quinn, have you ever met Tiger? Have you ever spent any time with him or got a chance to ask him for any advice on how to move forward?
I've never met him in person, no.
That's interesting. Quinn Riley, Duke golfer, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. So you said you haven't met Tiger Woods thus far, but if Tiger Woods was standing behind you right now, what would you say?
I would ask him when we're getting new shoes.
I'm
a huge fan of the shoes.
I am curious, though, for all the things that he's been through. You know, if you did have a chance to ask him for one piece of advice, what do you think you would ask him, Quinn?
I know he's just been really good at compartmentalizing what goes on and off the course. I don't think I can really think of anyone who's done it better than him and separating the two lives that he lives. And I know that going into professional golf, you kind of have to manage that part, and that's what I'm getting used to. And I just would ask him for any advice or tips that he has on that.
Quinn, while you were at Duke, I saw that you gave golf lessons to Zion Williamson. What kind of golfer is he?
He's a beginner, but he's very competitive. Very competitive.
Does it compare to Charles Barkley's swing? Is it better at this stage? Like what's his comp?
He's I saw the videos of Charles. He's got a little bit more speed than Charles. The ball striking is kind of the same, but I know I've been watching Charles Barkley since he was working with Haney, and I remember he was pausing like 3-4 times on the downswing, and it's good to see that he's kind of worked that one out.
What do you expect for it to be like this week in the John Deere Classic on the PGA circuit for you?
I expect it to be a good week, a really fun week. It's been fun so far. I know I'm going to have family out here watching me, and the TV is going to be rolling. So I know there's going to be some pressure kind of when I start off. But I think it's just going to be a really fun week, a really good learning experience. And I should learn a few things about myself that I can apply towards getting out here full time.
Go ahead, Jay.
I was going to ask you one last time. One last one. This is my last shot. If you had to choose a side, which side are you choosing? The Royal Blue or the Carolina?
I'm a Blue Devil.
Okay. That's all I wanted to hear. I'm done.
Dark blue.
That's all I wanted to hear. I'm good now. I'm good. I'm cheering for you every time I see you on the screen.
He got it. He got it confirmed. That was very important for Jay to get. All right. So Quinn's going to tee up tomorrow at 3:00 again at the John Deere Classic. And just great to see you get this opportunity. And I'm glad you were able to get that clarified for Jay, because for the rest of the show, he would have been devastated if you did not say Duke Blue Devils. Quinn, good luck. All the best to you. And thanks for joining us.
Good luck, Quinn.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right. All the best.
See, Jay.
And Jay?
I don't know if he was all in on you, Jay.
I don't think
he was all Duke, man. I'm just telling you.
I think he did that for you at the end. Key, I think he just did that for Jay at the end.
Yeah. The good people on both sides.
Conflicting, right?
Really? Were you ever conflicted at all, Jay?
No.
No, there wasn't a part of you.
Because somebody said to you, Jay, you say Duke immediately. It wouldn't
even be a question.
It's
not even a question. You see it every time Vince comes on the show.
People can't make up their mind.
And for him, it's a question. By the way, he called Zion a beginner. It's a very kind way of saying he's not very good, I'm guessing.
That's what he is in the NBA, too. Ew.
Wow.
Oh, coming from a guy who never played NBA. Anyway, moving on. I would just say.
Never mind.
It was an all-star.
What's good for him to take care of his own, though? That's what we do. Yeah. Take care of you.
No, it's a good story. There's no doubt about that. You know what else is a good story? The Knicks are clearing cap space. The bad story is for who next?
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.